Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
Where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Father, I pray that you would help me this morning to bring the word that you would have me to say today, to preach, God, exactly what you would have me to say in the way that you want it said. God, that your kingdom would be built up, that your name would be glorified, and that your church would be edified. We pray today, God, that your hand would be upon us and bring us, Lord, to the conclusion of this service around the altar, that those that are sick may receive their healing, that those that need a touch from you may receive that touch, that those, God, who are lost might be saved, and those who are thirsty might receive that water that flows from you today that'll quench our thirst and empower us to live for you. God, I pray that you would do these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, folks, God did not save us and call us into the church so that we could be lifeless and powerless and just have what C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity. God wants us to be more than just merely Christian. He wants us to walk in power and anointing. And when Jesus was in his ministry, he spoke in Luke chapter number 4 and said, "I have come with an anointing from God because I've got a mission from the Father." And he enumerated some things there that Isaiah had prophesied about, that he was going to be anointed to be able to do in his ministry. Folks, I believe that God intends for us to walk in the same anointing in which Jesus walked while he was on the earth. Now, this phrase anointing, it goes back into the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, when they talked about anointing, it was about taking oil and anointing someone with oil, putting oil on them, and it was done by a priest or by a prophet of God who would take oil and anoint someone and put it on them. And it was symbolic in the Old Testament of the presence of God being upon somebody. As you may or may not know, oil is symbolic in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit. And they would anoint someone with oil, and that was a symbol of them having the touch of God upon them, the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When someone was anointed with oil, they were declared to be set apart, empowered or enabled by the Holy Spirit. And you can read about anointing that took place in Exodus and in Leviticus and in Numbers. When somebody was anointed by this oil, it was called the Holy Anointing Oil, and it set them apart. You can read about the priests being anointed for service. You can read about David as a young man being called out of the shepherd field and being anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the next king over Israel. And it was a setting apart. It was a showing that this person is special unto God. God's got a purpose for them and a plan for them. So when Jesus came and he went to the synagogue and he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he read that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he was set apart. He was anointed by God for a special purpose. Let me tell you, the good news about that is that didn't just begin and end with Jesus' life on earth. It began with Jesus' life on earth, but he passed it down to his church. He passed it down to his followers, to his believers. Well, how do you know that he did, Pastor? Because I read Acts chapter number 1, verse number 5, and also verse number 8, that says, "You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost." I'm telling you this morning that anointing that Jesus stood up and declared that he had from God is available to us today, that we can walk in the anointing and the power of God's Holy Spirit. So looking here at this passage from Luke chapter number 4, Let's break this down a little bit and let's see what this anointing enables us to do. It says in verse number 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, first of all, to preach the good news." My Bible says, the King James says, to preach the gospel to the poor. That word gospel means the good news. Let me tell you, folks, God has anointed His church to preach the good news. You say, oh, I can't witness to anybody. I'm afraid to say anything. I'm afraid to open my mouth. I'm afraid to witness. Let me tell you, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, your faith in Jesus opens up an anointing to you to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. God depends upon you to open your mouth and to share the good news about Jesus. There's a famous saying, and I'm not quite sure who it is that it is attributed to originally, but all that witnessing really is one beggar telling another beggar where he found some bread. Folks, that's all you got to do is tell somebody, my life before Jesus was a wreck. Oh, but then I met the Lord and I asked Him into my heart, and since then, here's how my life has changed. That's all you got to do. You don't have to expound upon the deep things of deep theology. You don't have to explain it to them in the Greek. You don't have to be able to cross-reference five different verses that explain the plan of salvation. All you've got to do is tell somebody, think about the fellow that was healed by Jesus, and they questioned him about it, and they wanted to know, how was this man Jesus able to heal you? And he said, folks, all I know is this, I was blind, but now I see. That's all you need to be able to do is tell somebody, I was lost, I was wrapped up in sin, I was in bondage, I was worried, I was concerned, I was troubled, I was depressed, but oh, I met the Master, and now I can see, now I'm free, now I'm saved because I met Jesus. They tell me that statistically speaking, most Christians will go through their entire life and never share the gospel message with one other person. Shame on us. We shouldn't go a week without sharing the gospel with somebody. We need to open our mouth and tell them, oh, well, there's churches on every corner, there's churches everywhere. There may be churches everywhere, and we may put catchy signs out front, but God needs Christians to speak the good news of Jesus Christ and tell them, like the woman who met Jesus at the well that ran back into the city and said, come and see this man that I just met at the well who told me everything that I've done in my life. Is not this the prophet? I'm telling you, folks, it was that woman who caused revival to come into her city because she met Jesus and she opened her mouth and told somebody else about it. You have an anointing from God, Christian brother or sister, when the Holy Spirit is within you to open your mouth and to preach the good news to the lost. Our God could do it any way that He would choose to. He could send the beautiful angels from heaven to witness to every person on earth. He could cause the clouds to form the message in the heavens so that everybody could see them. He could send a fiery meteor from outer space to come across the heavens in a great flash and cause the message to be written in the wake of that comet. But God the Creator has chosen to give the message to you and me. These old earthen vessels to carry a priceless treasure, the good news of Jesus Christ. And who are we to keep it closed up, locked up inside? Open your mouth and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wouldn't know what to say. Folks, it's the anointing. It is the power of God that will be on your words that is going to make the difference. It's the anointing that will be upon your words that will make the difference, because our mouth has the power to speak life or to speak death in the Spirit. And when we open up and tell them about Jesus, the anointing of God is on the gospel proclamation. According to Jesus, you have the anointing to preach the good news. He says you have the power, the anointing, to be a proclaimer of freedom. What does it say there? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Let me tell you, folks, you're a messenger. You're a proclaimer of freedom to the prisoners. Well, what does that mean? Go down here to the jail, go over to Malvern, to the prison. What does that mean? Proclaimer of freedom. That means those people who you know who are all bound up, people who are struggling with life-controlling habits and with sin and with problems in their life, folks, you have a message of freedom from them. I am one who has been set free. You have been set free because the Word of God says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We have freedom in God. I've been set free, I've told you in times past, from migraine headaches, and I've been set free. And folks, let me tell you, people may get tired of it, but every time I hear somebody who says they're suffering with migraines, I tell them, you know what? I used to as well. God healed me from that. Can I pray with you about that? I believe that God can set you free from that. That's what I'm talking about. You see somebody bound up to cigarettes, you don't have to tell them, oh, well, they've got a really good patch down there at the drugstore that'll help you be free. They may have a patch, but we've got a Jesus who can set them free from bondage, even to cigarettes, to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography, to whatever the world has that can bind them up and get them involved in. Jesus says, I've got an anointing to preach the freedom to those that are captive. Folks, we live in a world where people are bound up, where people are entangled in the snares of sin, and they need somebody that'll come and say, oh, take this pill. No, they need somebody that'll refer them to a good psychologist. They need somebody that'll come with a little bit of the power of Jesus upon their life and say, friend, I don't know. I've never walked down that road before, but I serve a God who is able to break every chain, every bondage, every lie of the devil. Can I pray for you? Will you let me pray with you that this thing will be broken? Folks, I have seen, you know, I've been in assembly churches all my life. I have seen people come to church drunk and leave sober. Because of the power of God. Oh, well, I highly doubt that. I've seen it. I've been there. Some of you others can testify to that too. Folks come in, as they used to say, three sheets to the wind, just drunk. Get down at an altar, meet Jesus, and walk out sober and never drink again. I've seen it happen. I've seen folks be in the middle of a worship service, go out to their car, bring in a case of cigarettes, not just a carton. I mean, not just one package, but a bunch of them. And bring it in and put it on the altar. Not even during the preaching, just while we were singing and worshiping God. Because God dealt with him. And then we prayed for that brother. And he was free from that bondage. I'm telling you, it may be, maybe it's old-fashioned. I don't know. But what I find out is our God is a fairly, if you want to use that phrase, old-fashioned God. He hadn't changed in 6,000 years of recorded history, and I don't guess he's going to change anytime soon. According to his word, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, he can set you free from lust. He can set you free from anger. He can set you free from low self-esteem issues. He can set you free from fear. He can set you free from whatever kind of bondage the enemy has on you. My God has given you the anointing not only to be free, but to bring freedom wherever you go. Amen. You can bring, that's what Jesus said right there. I'm just preaching to you the words of Jesus Christ this morning, what he's had to say about it. The prison of sin, of drugs, of depression, of life-dominating habits. Oh, you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, praise God, there are programs out there to help. But folks, let's not turn to God as a last resort. Amen? Let's go to God first and see what God is able to do with somebody if we come to him first, if we seek God first. I thank God for programs like Teen Challenge that help folks. But I'm so thankful. Folks, the reason that Teen Challenge can be so successful is because they point them to the one who has the anointing that is able to set them free from that stuff that gets a hold of them. That's the God that we serve. He's able to give us liberty and to set us free. He says, Jesus said he had an anointing of recovery of sight for the blind. This speaks both to spiritual and to physical healing. Folks, let me tell you, John especially likes to write about blindness. When you read through John and he talks about those that Jesus touched who were blind, he talks about the Pharisees being blind, he talks about people not being able to see. It's not only a physical blindness that Jesus talks about, it's a spiritual blindness. Because until we see the light of Jesus Christ, we're blind. We're in spiritual blindness. We're in spiritual darkness. But we've got to have our eyes opened. And it is the preaching of the gospel that opens our eyes. It is the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The fact that God so loved this world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him does not have to die in their sin, but might have life through faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that through Him this world might be redeemed, saved, born again. That's the good news, that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose again, and that Jesus lives forevermore. And there's another part that I like to add, and that Jesus, who rose again, is coming back again one of these days, coming back for a church that's ready and that's waiting for Him. I'm telling you, church, when you proclaim the good news, it opens people's eyes. I believe we live in a day of spiritual blindness that rivals what you read about in the book of Acts. People are so blind to the good news, so blind to the truth of God's Word. So blind to what God's Word says. There's been so many. You know what's more dangerous? Is it more dangerous to have a clock that's 5 minutes wrong or 5 hours wrong? Well, we can pretty much tell when a clock is 5 hours wrong. No, that's just not right, you know. When it's dark outside and you're really sleepy and you look at the clock and it says 5 o'clock in the afternoon, no, that's not right. It's 10 o'clock at night. But when you got that 5 minutes wrong, it can cause you to be late to work. It can cause you to be late somewhere, and you didn't realize that 5 minutes was being lost. What is that an illustration of, Pastor? The lie that's really close to the truth, not way out there, oh no, but that lie that's just really close to the truth. You know, that's the one that's so dangerous. And let me tell you, folks, if you just open up your ears and listen to some of the things that's being talked about in our world today, you'll find some lies that maybe they've got a little bit of the truth in them, but they're not true. So they're kind of close to the truth, but they're not, you know, lies like, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe, just believe sincerely. Sincerity is what is important. Let me tell you, if you sincerely believe that anybody other than Jesus Christ can save you, you will sincerely go to hell. Oh, I'm just earnest about it. I just really believe that all religions are going to get to the same place. I'm sorry to tell you that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. I'm telling you, this world wants to tell you that we just all need to be inclusive and we need to coexist and we need to all walk arm in arm. No, folks, we need to tell them that Jesus is the only way that they will have life and that more abundantly, that they will make it to heaven through Jesus Christ. We need to be careful because the enemy is a liar and the father of it. We've got to open up their spiritual eyes and tell them the truth. Oh, well, that's not really sin. You know what we're debating? Getting ready for general counsel this summer. In Orlando, Florida, I believe, where what is general counsel? All the Assembly of God churches, it's our business meeting that takes place nationally every 2 years. And ever so often we keep having to talk about whether or not speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we have to go back and revisit that ever so often. It's been done 3 times or so since I've been in the ministry. Because folks will want to say, oh, well, you don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we got to revisit that. Now the big thing is there place for alcohol in the church? Is there place for that standard? Folks, we need to be sure that we know what does the Word of God say? What does the Word say? Folks, and stand upon what the Word says. If the Bible says it's a sin, then it's a sin. If the Bible says don't do it, then don't do it. Well, it's not really that bad. The Bible's really old-fashioned. It really doesn't relate to modern life and modern way of thinking. That is a lie from hell, and it will mess your life up. God did not put guardrails on the side of the highway of life to keep you from going places that would be good for you. Where there are guardrails, Scripture that says don't do it, it's to keep you from destroying yourself, destroying your life, messing yourself up in things that you have no business getting involved in. I've never met a smoker that said, I wish I'd have started smoking a little younger. Have you? Because I haven't. I've never met somebody whose life was messed up with alcohol who said, I just wish that I'd started drinking a little bit younger. I wish I'd just drunk a little bit more. I wish I'd just hit the hard stuff a little sooner. I've met some that have said, I wish I'd never smoked that first stinking cigarette. I've met some that have said, I wish I'd never drunk that first drink. Haven't you? I have. I wish I'd never looked at that first pornographic magazine. I wish that I'd never... That's what I've heard people say. Not, oh, I just wish I'd have got off into that stuff earlier. But regret that years have been wasted of their life, that their health and their finances. You know what aggravates me as a pastor? Is somebody will show up at my office wanting help with something, wanting help, wanting me to give them church money to help them with a bill, and they reek of cigarette smoke. Y'all are pretty quiet about that, but it bothers me because I know I shop and I see how much those cigarettes cost. And they got enough money to go smoke those things, but they can't pay their electric bill, and they want God, me to give them God's money. I got a little problem with that. I want to help somebody out when I can, but folks, what did I say last Sunday? God gave us, you know, some gray matter to do what we're supposed to. I better back up. I need to get back onto the anointing. I'm just telling you, folks, that we need to be sure that we help people with the anointing, through our anointing, to have open eyes, to realize that, you know, that these things like cigarettes and alcohol and drugs and pornography, the world may say it's okay, enjoy yourself, live a little, but God says don't go there. Don't do it. Don't get your life tied up with things that will bind you up and keep you down and break your health and ruin your finances, all for these things that are just going to go away. You know, they used to call cigarettes coffin nails. Hadn't heard that said in a long time. That's the least, I think, of our worries anymore with the things that are floating out there in our society. But folks, not only the physical healing or the spiritual healing, but God has anointed you to be an agent of physical healing, to open the eyes of the blind. Folks, there is no problem too big that our God can't solve it. There is no physical need too big. In Sunday school one time a few years ago, a man got up and said, I need y'all to help me pray. A friend of mine, his child is on life support, and they're going to make a decision as soon as possible about removing that child from life support because the doctor says he's brain dead and there's not any hope medically speaking, and this family needs to be able to make this decision, and I want y'all in Sunday school to help me pray that that child will live and not die. Do you believe that God can take somebody that's just body being kept alive by a machine and bring life back into that room? We had a woman in Sunday school that morning that got up and said, I can't believe for that, and walked out. In retrospect, she might have done the right thing, because if you don't have faith, then you're not going to receive what you've asked for, right? But I want to challenge you, folks, if God is able to bring Lazarus back from the dead who was in the grave for days, huh? Can he not bring somebody back from a table, you know, in a hospital bed that's being kept? Oh, absolutely. There is nothing too hard for our God. Our God is able to do it. My Bible says, if you'll ask in my name, right? If you'll ask in my name. If you'll ask in faith and not waver, but believe what you've asked for, it'll be done for you. Folks, I believe, you know what the good news is? The good news is that child that we prayed for, it wasn't just us praying. There were lots of people praying for that child. The good news is that child lived. The good news is the doctor didn't have the last word on that. that just encourages me to keep praying for other people and to keep believing God for even the great big things, even the huge things. My God is able to do it. And folks, you don't have to just call the pastor and say, "Oh, pastor, would you get to the emergency room because so-and-so is having a problem." Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I'll go every time I can. But you have an anointing from God to lay your hands on somebody and to pray for them and to believe, because you are a child of God just like I am. The same Spirit that is in me can be in you. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus. And you have the ability to believe for miracles. Man, growing up in church, there were some Sunday nights where we'd get into the altar and we'd start praying. And I don't know why. I've got my guesses. We'd start praying. Things would kind of wind down. We had a small church, so two or three people would leave, and that was maybe a third of the congregation that was there. And then, boy, things would just begin to roll. And we might have another hour in the altar. I always wondered about that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the faith of those people that were left around the altar got through to God. The people that were there were firmly believing in God to answer their prayers and to see the things done that they were praying for. And sometimes I think we just don't sometimes tarry long enough to see God do what we want Him to do. Oh, folks, I know we live in a push-button world where we push a button and things happen. But God's timing is not our timing. And sometimes we got to hold on to the horns of the altar. Sometimes we got to tarry in the presence of God. Sometimes you can't say your microwave prayer. "Oh God, here I am in need. Now heal me as I walk out the door." Sometimes you got to get in the closet and pray and seek God and stay there for a while before you feel that you've gotten through to God and that there's been a connection made and that the power is flowing in your life. It's been done in the past, and it'll still work today. God has given you the anointing to recover sight for those that are blind. Number four is to release the oppressed. Folks, not only are people around you in the prison of tobacco and alcohol and drugs and pornography and anger and lust and sin, but there are folks around you who are in bondage to the demonic. Not a lot of preaching about that I hear anymore. But there are folks around you who are under the bondage of the demonic. Now let me just tell you, before somebody gets scared, a Christian who is saved cannot be demon possessed. Now the enemy can attack you. The enemy can oppress you. He can come against you and cause some trouble in your life, but you can't be possessed. The Spirit of God and a demonic spirit can't dwell in the same vessel. Okay, so get that out of your mind. But you bump elbows, you rub elbows with people, you come into contact with people at work, at the grocery store, maybe in your very own family who are not saved, and they have demonic influence in their life. You need to operate under the anointing that Jesus had, that He made available to us in Acts, so that when you bump and come into contact with those folks, you have the authority that Jesus has given you to bring liberty to those folks who are demon-controlled, demon-influenced, and demon-possessed. Folks, let me tell you that they are there. You may not hear it. Man, I've been in church long enough to have seen these things happen. Some of you have too. I can remember seeing folks prayed for. They maybe came up to the altar for prayer because they've been sick for a long time, or they had this pain in their body for a long time. And as we began to pray for them, one of the saints of God, maybe the pastor or maybe one of the elder saints in the church, began to get discernment that there was something at work here other than just physical ailments. I have seen people drop on the floor and crawl like a snake. "Oh, that's just foolishness." No, that's the devil. I have seen people's voices heard, I guess I should say, voices change to something that Hollywood would like to reproduce some of the sounds that I have heard. Folks, oh, Pastor, that's just scary. I don't want any of that in our church. You have an anointing when that kind of thing begins to happen, brother or sister, to do exactly what Jesus did and tell that demon, be quiet and come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Go and don't come back anymore. Folks, the anointing that is in you is greater than the anointing of this world. We didn't all run off when that woman dropped down and began crawling on the floor, acting like a snake. Some folks grabbed a hold of her. She got an anointing oil shower. It just got poured on her. And we began to pray over her. And let me tell you, she didn't leave the way she came in. God set her free. That is the anointing and the power that we have. Folks, if the devil was possessing people in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, if he was doing it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if he was doing it in Acts, then the same thing is still happening in our world today, and we need to operate in the Holy Ghost so that we can know the difference over whether that's just somebody's human nature or whether they've got some demonic influence in their life. And when it's demonic, we can take authority over that in the name of Jesus and give those folks some liberty. It's what Jesus said the anointing is able to do, to release the oppressed. And I tell you, number five is you've been anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Other translations say you have been anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Folks, let me tell you, our world, the Western society, has grown more technologically advanced over the past 10 years than in 200 or 300 years before that. More advancement has taken place. If you have a smartphone that you carry, probably just a regular old cell phone, doesn't even have to be a smartphone, that you carry around with you, you've got more computing power in your pocket that you use to make phone calls than they had in the first rocket ship that took men to the moon and back. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But it's true. Some of the stuff that, if you used to read old comic books, some of the Dick Tracy stuff that seemed to be crazy, we actually see in our world today. But you know what? The one need that has remained constant and in fact has increased as we've grown more. They got all this social media. Man, you can sit right here in church and let all your friends on Facebook and Twitter know that you can be tweeting out one-liners from my message. Oh, pastor just said so-and-so, and tweet it out, put it out there for your friends all around the world to see. I'd rather you do that after you get home, if you want to know my opinion. But I know, whatever. I heard one pastor say, instead of saying, would you turn in your Bible to so-and-so, he said, would you log on to so-and-so, because so many people are using electronic Bibles. But what I'm trying to say is the acceptable year of the Lord. As people have grown all this technology, and they got Facebook, and they've got Twitter, and they've got Instagram, and they've got Pinterest, and they've got all these other things, the one need that people still have that seems greater than it ever has been is they're lonely. Folks, I used to be able, when I was younger, to tell people all the things that we didn't do. Oh, we don't go to dances, and we don't go to movie theaters, and we don't. I want to tell people about the love of God. That is the anointing to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, I can't come to church right now. My life is in such a mess. You need to come to church right now while your life is in such a mess. Oh, the roof would fall down on me. I've heard people say that. I can't tell you how many times. I've never once seen a roof actually come down on somebody, because you've heard that too, right? Oh, if I went in church, the roof would fall. What I'm telling you is, you can tell those people whose lives are a mess, oh, one of these days I'll get things in order and I'll come to church. You can tell them, God wants a relationship with you right now. While you're still out here in a foreign country, while you're still out there with your life messed up, while your marriage is a wreck, while your children are in rebellion, while your life is just all wrapped up in sin, God wants a relationship with you right now. While you've got more questions than you have answers, while you feel like you're on the backside of the desert somewhere and haven't had a drop to drink spiritually in a long time, God is waiting on you right now, looking to wrap you up. It's not when we get it all in order and when we get the right suit on and when we get our face all shaved and when we get ourselves looking presentable that then God will entertain us. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day. This is the hour we can bring people into the presence of God right now. Shopping for groceries, working on our jobs, driving down the road, we can tell them that Jesus is ready for them right now. In the midst of their sin, in the midst of their problems, we can tell them about a God who has grace and who has mercy. We can tell them, aren't you glad to know that we've got the anointing to be able to preach to them the acceptable year of the Lord? People are ignorant of the comforting message of God's grace. They've heard a lot about how God's going to judge. And folks, God's going to judge. But aren't you glad? Every one of us are sitting here today because God has grace. And because God has mercy. Amen. So, let me tell you, as I was getting ready last night, and Saturday nights, I try not to schedule anything on because I like to go over my notes and pray and think and prepare for Sunday. And as I was thinking last night on this message, I feel like talking about the anointing, I feel like God showed me that there are three levels of anointing that we can operate in. The first level of anointing that we can operate in is the well. The well. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you. And you have been given the earnest, the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's what it means to be born again. The Spirit comes in and makes you spiritually alive. It's not actually Jesus who comes down from heaven. Although we say, I receive Jesus in my heart, it is the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, where He lives forever to make intercession for the saint. It is the Spirit of God that makes us alive. We've been sealed with the Spirit. A well of living water has sprung up in our innermost being, and we become alive spiritually. We who were dead are now alive. There is that well anointing. The well anointing is just sustenance level spiritually. The well provides for your needs. It keeps you alive. It gives you water to drink. It keeps you spiritually alive, but there's not any extra. You draw water from your own well, and you keep yourself alive, but you're kind of like the five virgins that didn't have any extra oil to share with anybody else. You've got enough for you. That's the well. Spiritual life. We've been born again. Then there's the river anointing. When the river anointing, that's when we walk in the fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to flow. And wherever the river goes, it brings life, right? Several years ago, we had a pretty bad drought where I was pastoring. But the church was close to the Arkansas River. And boy, all along that river, the trees were still bright and green and pretty and had all their leaves. You go just a little ways, and the trees were going dormant in the summertime because, you know, they were losing their leaves. And because why? Because there was no water. But boy, right by that river, they never dried up. They kept their green leaves. Wherever the Spirit of God flows out of us like a river, we bring life to the dryness, to the desert. You bring life to the swamp, life to the bog, to the marsh where it's stagnant and dry. When the Spirit is flowing, you bring life when the river anointing is flowing through you. You can come into a church service and change the atmosphere because the Spirit is flowing through you. You can go to the job and change the atmosphere. You can change the atmosphere where you are because the power of God is flowing you through you like a river, bringing life wherever you go. But I believe what God showed me that was new to me was this third level. God wants us, He wants every one of us to be at least at that river level. That's pretty awesome anointing right there.
But God says there's even a third level of anointing that we can go to, the rain anointing. What is the rain anointing? Elijah was able to shut up the heavens and then make it rain again. Folks, not only on him, but on the nation. I believe God wants us to have nation-changing anointing, world-changing anointing. In the New Testament, we see it where they said, those who've turned the world upside down have come here also. That kind of anointing, that rain-making anointing, where you see the river depends on, sort of like it did with Jesus. It flows wherever the source goes. Wherever we go, the river's flowing. But when we operate, this may be so far out there that I should have just kept it to myself. But if we operate in that rain anointing, we can go up on top of the mountain like the prophet and began to pray and keep praying and looking for clouds and praying for looking for clouds and affect our entire family, our entire nation, our entire realm of being by our prayers through the anointing that God puts on us. It's not just for all the super spiritual, the television evangelist. It's for us, church. God wants us to raise ourselves up and walk in a fresh level of anointing to be able to be moved on by the power of God. Hallelujah. Folks, I believe that's where I should stop this morning. I believe that God would have us to operate in the anointing. Why, Pastor? What's so big about it? Preaching without anointing, you might as well go to the Lions Club or to the Kiwanis Club or to the Rotary Club and listen to a speech. You might as well turn on C-SPAN when you get home and listen to your senator talk about something. But when preaching has the anointing of God on it, it releases the power of God in those who hear. Singing without the anointing may be beautiful and it may entertain us. But when someone sings under the anointing of God, it causes the change. Right? Oh, you see, you may talk to somebody and invite them to church. And it might be the right thing to do. It is. But when you have sought after and prayed for and received that anointing, now it's not just your words that you come up with in your brain that come out across your vocal cords out through your mouth. Now they've been spirit touched and spirit inspired, and just like that preacher's message, just like that singer's song, now you as the witness are the ambassador of Christ. And you're speaking the oracles of God, and you may say the same words, but they're a whole different level of power. Now they're not just you, they are you plus God. Amen? They are you plus Holy Ghost. They are you plus power. Folks, what a difference could it make if when we go to work tomorrow, we go to work with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us? What a difference could it make when we go to the restaurant here in a little while to get some lunch? We go in that restaurant with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. When we sit down to table with our family here in a little while, we sit down with the anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon us. When we go visit our friends, when we make our phone calls, when we get in our prayer closet to have the anointing of God. Oh, it goes from just simply being a Christian yourself and making it to heaven to a level where we're changing the very world in which we live. I want to challenge you to be world changers. Amen. I'm glad that you're all that you're saved and that you're planning to go to heaven and that you've given your heart to Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. But let's see how many we can bring in. Let's see how much good we can do. Let's see how much difference we can make. Let's see what level of anointing we can walk in on our daily life. Because folks, the devil's not pulling any punches. He's hitting this world and the church with everything he's got. We need to give him back everything we have. Amen? Because hell can't stand against us. Would you stand with me as we get ready to close this morning? Father God, I pray today that what I've said about the anointing will make a difference, Lord, because I believe it's exactly what you would have me to preach today, Father. I believe that some of us, God, we need to pray and ask Jesus to come into our hearts and to open up the well of salvation, that we give our heart to Jesus and become saved today. Father, I believe some of us who have been saved are just gathered around the well and we've never sought you for the river of life to flow from our innermost being into this world. God, some of us who are operating in the river anointing, we need to step up higher. And we need to come up to that third level and be rain anointed, to be able to change the atmosphere, to be able to change the circumstances around us through your power, according to your plan in your kingdom. Father, I just pray right now that you'll touch every heart.